I didn't think it would be easy to break a 7-month downtrend, but today I saw data, and when I saw this data, I was more convinced than ever that we are actually going to break up through this downtrend and break this trend and then eventually go to all-time highs. So I wasn't convinced it would happen that quickly, but once I saw this data, it was like, okay, it's going to happen. It's going to happen maybe within the next few hours, maybe within a day, maximum 2 days, but we are going to break out of this trend. I'm going to show you the data today. After that, I want to talk to you about the narratives that have actually been running in the market, because you know that the narratives that have been running in the market are memes and AI. They've been like the two hot flavors in the market. But I don't think that when we break all-time high, those will be the two narratives that actually start running. And I'm going to show you why I think that the narratives are going to be different. And I'm going to show you exactly what those narratives are. So if you believe that we are going to break the all-time, the trend line, the 7-month trend line in the next 2 days, watch the show till the end. And whilst the rocket is going, smash the like button and I'll show you exactly why it's going to happen. Not supposed to be easy to break a 7-month long downtrend, I'll tell you that much. It's not supposed to be easy. And so what we're getting now is we're getting Bitcoin challenging this downtrend, challenging this level. But eventually Bitcoin's going to break through, and it's going to break through pretty soon. I'm going to show you exactly why. Until then though, unfortunately, we have a little bit of a breather, and you can see it in the bubbles. And so to make your lives a bit more fun whilst we are in red bubbles, we have decided to spice up the bubbles, right? And we're going to spice up the bubbles like this. We've brought back the Winner Bitcoin competition. So if you want to win a full Bitcoin, all you need to do is go to the to Banter Bubbles. Click on the Winner Bitcoin competition. Now, what you need to do is you need to have or any account with a Crypto Banter link, with a Crypto Banter link at any of these exchanges, Bybit, Blowfin, BitGet, CoinW, Mexi, all of our partner exchanges. Okay, now, what you do then is, when you say you're ready, you submit the exchange that you're on. So Bybit, Blowfin, BitGet, CoinW, Mexi. You give us your prediction for Bitcoin on the 1st of the 1st, 2025 at 0000 on Coinbase. Put in your account number and ID, submit your prediction. Your prediction will go onto this thing over here. And if you are the closest person, you will win a full fucking Bitcoin. Who else is giving you a full fucking Bitcoin? No one is. That's how we're spicing up your day when it comes to a day when there's such red bubbles. But I wouldn't worry about the red bubbles. I'm going to show you in a second why I'm not that worried about the red bubbles. I'm also going to show you why I think that these two narratives that have brought us all the way here are not going to be the ones that are going to take us forward. So the memes and the AI are not going to be the narratives that take us forward in this bull market. It's going to be other narratives. I'm going to show you exactly what those narratives are. So lots to do today, class. Lots to do today, class. I hope you guys had a good break between yesterday and today. I hope you're back ready. We are so back, baby. Bangkok Bird says, bro, chill. You got Ron. Bluebird says, Ron, the Indian guy. Please, can we keep the racism out of the show? I'm going to show you some clips from, speaking of racism, I'm going to show you some clips around Kamala Harris. So for those of you who are Kamala Harris fans, maybe this is not the best show for you. All right, let's go. One Bitcoin only for the ones who have a big package. No, it's not a big package. All you need to do is open an exchange account or have an exchange account with a Crypto Banter link. Press win a Bitcoin. Bang, bang, bang. Make your prediction. And once you make your prediction, you can see people have said 100,000. Four predictions have already said 100,000. Your prediction will go live over here. Once your prediction goes live over here, that's it. You can win the Bitcoin. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's not waste any more time. So, as I said, I didn't think we were going to break this level very quickly. I've been saying it for the last 3 or 4 days. I'm happy we're here. And I do think that this is the pump that's actually going to break it. But it wasn't supposed to happen quickly because this is a 7-month downtrend. This is 7 months of accumulation. And I remember when I got into the market, someone said something very smart to me. He said, markets will turn and trends will turn when the sellers actually get exhausted. So what he meant was, look, markets can only go up when the sellers eventually get exhausted. And that's exactly the point that we're at now, or at least on chain. That's exactly what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the sellers actually getting exhausted for the first time in a long time. And specifically, I'm looking at this metric over here, which kind of shows that the cell walls on exchanges have disappeared. Now, you can see that those cell walls started around about May. So we go back to May in the charts. We go back to May in the Bitcoin charts, which is somewhere around here. We started getting these big sell walls over here in Bitcoin. And those sell walls have actually been in the market right through until where we are today. So you can see until where we are today. And so this is completely turned, and all the strong sell walls have actually disappeared. And what that shows is it shows that the sellers have started to get exhausted. We've neutralized the sellers that we've had in the market for the past 18 months. Now, there's other data that's showing me exactly the same thing. Like, for example, the coins on exchanges, and usually people put coins on exchanges either because they're dumb and because they want to get their coins frozen by the exchanges, or because they are taking them off exchanges to put them into cold wallets, which means that they're taking them off. They don't want to be selling. And buyers have bought them, and they're taking the exchanges off exchanges. And now, if you look at the Bitcoin exchange reserves, we are looking at an all-time low. At the same time, now that the sellers are out the way, now that the sellers are exhausted, it seems that the buyers have now come into control. But it's not the buyers that we're used to. It's not the normal buyers that we have been dealing with, right? And I'll show you some actual data that actually shows this. So the sellers are exhausted. Up until now, it's been a battle between the sellers and the buyers. It's been an equal strength battle between sellers and buyers, sellers and buyers, sellers and buyers. But now we're at a point where the sellers are exhausted. Now that the sellers are exhausted, it seems that the buyers are in control. You see that with a couple of exhibits, right? So exhibit A, Your Honor, is you look at the CME open interest. CME open interest is now at all-time highs. What does this tell you? It tells you that the institutions are now coming in at all-time highs, because institutions are the ones that are trading on sellers. Guys, what the hell's going on? I forgot to tell them to smash the like button. That's why there's no likes. Destroy, obliterate that like button. There's only 500 likes. Usually by this time, we've got like 800 likes, 900 likes. Obliterate the likes. Obliterate. Zweletu says the same thing. Zweletu must be from South Africa. That Zweletu is a South African name. So you've got buyers coming in, institutional buyers coming in. You can see that because only institutional buyers are trading on the CME. I don't know any retail investors that are trading on the CME. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing a very similar pattern to earlier this year where you had all-time highs in terms of demand for CME Bitcoin, which is Bitcoin futures. But that's not where it ends, because if you look at the ETF inflows, just look at the last 3 days of ETF inflows. You've got 255 million. Then the next day you had 555 million. That's 800 million. And then yesterday you had 371 million. So you had 253, 555. This is this week. Then you had 371 and then 458. So you got over, what's that? That's $1.5 billion that has flowed into ETFs in the last four ETF trading days. So what you can see very, very, very clearly is that the buyers are now in control. The sellers are exhausted. The buyers are in control. And the type of buyers are big buyers. It's CME buyers. It's people that are buying $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin on the ETFs in a matter of a couple of days. The next type of buyer that you're seeing is New Whale Wallet, which now holds 2 million Bitcoin. So you can see that there has been a surge in New Whale Wallet. Each one of these Whale Wallets, a Whale Wallet is defined with over 1,000 Bitcoin. So Josh's wallet is definitely included in that. The average coin age under 155 days. That's definitely Josh, because he is a noob. Excluding exchanges, miner wallets, and custodial wallets. So what you can see is that people like Josh that have been in the market for less than 155 days, new, have accumulated over 1,000 Bitcoin. These guys are now basically at all-time highs, and they've been buying a lot. So what this is actually showing you, jokes aside, is that there are new buyers on the market, and these buyers are big buyers. As I said, institutional buyers. Now what you have is, you have 5 hours ago, one party deposited, this was announced 5 hours ago yesterday or Wednesday 16th, someone deposited $1.8 billion into Binance. $1.8 billion in one deposit into Binance. Can you imagine going through your bank and saying, like, writing that writing that that mail today. Hi, please can you deposit $1.8 billion from my account into Binance? I can imagine the banker on the other side has a mild heart attack when he reads this. He's like, excuse me? No, this has to go to compliance. And then, you know, can you imagine? Like, I know if I want to send $10,000 out of my bank account, they ask me for like pubic hairs, DNA samples, samples of my nails. And this guy transferred $1.8 billion to Binance. So, but what you can see is that, I think what I'm trying to show you is that this is no longer a game that is played with retail investors. This is a game that is being played by very, very, very heavyweight investors. It's not the same playing field that we're used to. It's ETFs that are buying $1.5 billion in 2 days. It's whales that are depositing $1.8 billion in a day. It's crypto pricey who says that's what's coming in. And so as I said, like retail had 2 years to stack between 16,000 and 60,000, but they ignored it. And so what is probably going to happen now is we're going to start getting some serious, serious, serious FOMO. One of the things that also points me is if you look at the number one asset class that ETF investors plan to invest in via ETFs next year is US equities. And number two is cryptocurrency. So 45% of people want to actually invest in cryptocurrencies. Now, you know what the difference is between when you plan to invest and when you actually invest. It's two things, right? One, when you get some money that you actually want to invest. It's actually three things. One is you get the money that you want to invest. Two is you get one green candle. That green candle causes an absolute FOMO. You think to yourself, I've been planning to invest, but now the train has left the station. And so you rush to invest. And that's what's going to happen. I've been here before and I know what happens. All the people that are planning to buy Bitcoin, you know what happens. You get one green candle and they rush to FOMO in like Bitcoin's about to run out. That's basically what these people actually end up doing. And so what I think is going to happen is you're going to get one green candle. We just have to break this level over here. Once we break this level over here and we break this level over here, which is the 74,000, because that's where we're going to next, then we're going to get huge FOMO actually driving the market. So that's the second reason. So the reason I think why people are planning to invest in cryptocurrencies, investors plan to invest. The difference is, one, we don't have money. Two, we have money, but we're waiting for the right opportunity. We're waiting for a dip. And you know, those people that are waiting for a dip land up investing when there is a green candle because they don't buy when there's a dip. They weren't here. But then the third thing that I think is the difference between actually investing and planning to invest is actually, to be honest, the outcome of the election. Because I think there's a lot of money that's sitting on the sidelines, big money, I mean like pension fund money, investor money. And I think what they're saying is, look, before I allocate any money to crypto, I need to see the outcome of the US election. Because if the Democrats come in, then I'm not going to be so forthcoming with my investment. But if the Republicans come in, then I'm going to allocate more money into crypto. Now, there's probably not that many retail investors that are thinking this, but if you think about institutional capital, real institutional capital, they take long-term decisions. They don't care about the difference between 61 and 63 or even 63 and 67. They couldn't give a shit because they are making a decision to allocate. You take the endowments, you take the pension funds, you take the real money. And they're saying, look, we want to invest in certain trends. The thing with this trend is that the election has a major outcome on the trend. So, you know, like if the Republicans win, then there are massive, massive, massive tailwinds for Bitcoin. If the Democrats win, then maybe headwinds or maybe no wins for Bitcoin. And so there's a lot of money that's sitting on the sideline going, look, we've allocated money to crypto, and the deployer, the button that is going to determine whether or not we deploy is going to be whether or not the US election outcome is favorable to crypto or not. Now, I know to me, you and I, that doesn't sound like how we invest. We just take money and put it in. We don't really care about the political situation. But think about big funds. Think about big institutions. Think about pension funds. Think about people managing people's retirement funds and stuff like that. They need to show that they had a good reason why they're going to invest. Now, what they can't do is they can't say, look, we're speculating on the outcome of the election. Therefore, we are placing our bets now. They don't work like that. They say, look, we want clarity. Once we have clarity, we will allocate. Which means that anybody who is like us, where we don't have to go through an investment committee, actually gets the upper hand on these people, right? Because we say, hey, we want to speculate on the outcome of the election. We're putting down money in crypto, speculating on the outcome of the election. They say, no, we can't speculate on the outcome of the election. We don't have that mandate in our, we don't have that risk profile in our mandate. We can only invest in crypto once we know that the road is clear. And speaking of the road being clear, if you look at the chart of the presidential election chart, by the way, I saw a tweet yesterday, which I think broke the internet. I'm going to show it to you because I'm not going to read it. And the reason why I'm not going to read it is because I just think that if I do read it out loud, then I think that that YouTube will definitely ban my show. But basically, it says that chart over there, I didn't make this tweet, it was from Gunther Eagleman, and he says, people are saying that the chart looks like Carmela's legs. So you see, so that's what the chart, I didn't say it, it was Gunther Eagleman who said that, right? Someone said, God candle is starting. No, it's only $200, bro. So I don't want to say it, but I mean, it does actually look like this chart is doing what Carmela's legs have done for so many years. Jesus, this is so going to get banned off YouTube. My God. Okay, good. And what you can see is that right now, specifically on Polymarket, what you can see is that the odds of Trump winning the election are just getting higher and higher and higher. And it's no surprise because what you're seeing is you're seeing crypto actually trade as if Trump is going to win more and more and more. To be honest, it's not only me that's picked this up. I heard this thing of Stan Druckenmiller on the internet, and just listen to what he said.
Toss up. I still don't have conviction who's going to win on the election, but as I said earlier, I like market indicators for the economy and for financial restrictiveness. I also like them for elections. I remember how right the market was on Ronald Reagan in 1980, despite what the pundits were saying. And I must say, in the last 12 days, the market and the inside of the market is very convinced Trump is going to win. You can see it in the bank stocks. You can see it in crypto. You can even see it in DJT, his social media company. But
so what you can see is that the market is convinced. The market is now starting to price in a Trump win. Now, what was the major move here? Why did we all of a sudden get the legs opening up a lot wider? Well, the reason why the legs opened up like this is because Carmela yesterday had an interview on Fox News. Now, here's the problem with Carmela, right? She has this issue right now where she's behind in the polls. And the problem is that the only way for her to get ahead in the polls is to do more interviews. The problem is that the more interviews she does, the more she messes up and the more she falls behind in the polls. And that is actually what David Sacks said on the 30th of August, 2024. He said, if Carmela falls behind in the polls, she will have to do more interviews. But if she does more interviews, she will fall further behind in the polls. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, someone says, okay, let's put the prey on. Let's just get it out the way. Let's just look at the price first, because you have to look at 67,285 is the price. Not bad. We got a small pump to 67,303. Not bad. 309. Not bad. You guys did good. All right, let's go back to it. So what you had is you had Carmela doing more interviews. And yesterday she did an interview on Fox News. Now look, I've seen a lot of Carmela interviews. This one takes the cake. Like, you got to just listen to this. This was, you feel sorry
frankly,
for eventually.
Exhausted of Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become...
Power.
But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me, frankly, exhausted...
Listen, it went from bad to worse for her. So she started shivering, shaking. Watch.
Talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. This is a democracy. And in a democracy, the president of the United States, in the United States of America, should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it. Talked about locking...
That is what happened last night. Now, here, what happened is Kamala's team was standing there. And Brett Baier, who was interviewing her, basically they were flagging him down to cut the interview. Stop, stop, stop. Now, I know this because when I was at CNBC, and I remember they wanted me to cut. They used to stand behind the camera and go like, cut, cut. And they used to go in your ear and say, shh, you got to cut this interview. You got to cut this interview. Now, that's what was happening here. Watch.
All of this money
has treated and talked about America's military and military service people calling them suckers and losers.
Hamas
has diminished the significance.
We're talking over each other. I apologize.
I would like that we would have a conversation that is grounded in full assessment of the facts, which includes, I think this interview is supposed to be about the choices that your viewers should be presented about this election, and the contrast is important.
Yes, ma'am.
And on the subject of Iran, I am offering what should be an important contrast that is presented for folks to make a decision that they feel...
Who look at what the
what was going on here in the background was this. So he then did an interview afterwards, and listen to what he said was going on in the background.
Dana, you've been on the other side. You've been on the rapper as a press secretary interviewing a president. And, you know, I'm talking like four people waving their hands like it's got to stop. So, Martha, final. Yeah.
It's basically they were telling you, listen, you got to stop this interview. Stop, stop, stop this interview. It's almost like if you think about a UFC fight, you know, when the guy stands in the middle, the umpire goes, stop, stop. And he goes in between the two fighters. That's what they were trying to do. From the side yesterday. It was an absolute abomination. Trump actually tweeted this morning. He said she's got Trump derangement syndrome. She couldn't say anything except how much she hates Trump. Gunther Eagleman says, just announced, Kamala just lost the presidency on the Fox News interview. It was really, really, really bad. J.D. Vance actually even came and said, to my Democrat friends, maybe you should consider swapping Kamala for Joe Biden. That's how bad it was there yesterday. That's how bad it was yesterday. Anyway, so right now, the poly market odds are showing Trump at 62.5 and Kamala at 37.4. But I wouldn't take these poly market odds as gospel. And I'll tell you why I wouldn't take these poly market odds as gospel, right? If I look, and this is before the interview, if I look at Nate Silver, he's saying that they're now 50-50. Now, you ask yourself, what is the difference between poly market's odds, which are 65-35, basically, and Nate Silver at 50.1 to Kamala and 49.7 to Trump, even though he is showing that Kamala is on the decline. The difference is that this is a very easy, small market to manipulate, right? So if you think about poly markets, it's not a very big market. And what some people seem to be doing on poly markets is the following. They know that crypto bros and people in crypto are trading based on the poly market outcome. So they know that we as a community are trading based on the poly market outcome. Now get this for a very smart methodology. In order to manipulate these numbers, to get the Trump numbers higher, you wouldn't need a lot of money. For $5 million, you can send these odds very, very high, very, very much higher. And so imagine the situation. You know that crypto people are looking at the poly market odds. What do? You take a leveraged Bitcoin long position. You then go to poly markets and you spend $5 million pumping up the Trump odds because you think Trump is going to win. But you increase his odds. Because people see that the odds are going up, they land up buying more Bitcoin and the price of Bitcoin goes up, right? And so what you get is you get this scenario where by spending a little bit of money on poly markets on an outcome that you actually believe in, What you can do is you can make money on your Bitcoin bet. So how do you do it? I'm not asking, I'm not saying you guys did, but there are whales that are actually doing it right now. They've been, I won't say caught out because they're doing nothing illegal. But what they're basically doing, what these guys are basically doing is they are taking bets. They're taking Bitcoin leverage long bets. They then manipulating the poly market odds. As the poly market odds go higher, crypto bros are buying more Bitcoin. And therefore, their leverage positions are making back the money that they invest in the poly markets. And they still have the poly markets bet, which will actually end up making money. So I just want you guys to understand what's happening. But that's it. I do think that Trump is very much in the lead. The momentum is very much towards Trump. We are now 18 days away from the elections. A lot can happen in 18 days, but it does look absolutely amazing. And I think that what's going to happen is after the elections, people are going to start allocating money back into crypto. Let's quickly take a look at the Bitcoin price. And then afterwards, it's at 67,130. Someone says Celestia is running. Can we quickly just check if Celestia is actually running? I see Injective running. Not running a lot, but it is running. And the reason why Injective is running is because I got a listing on Upbit, the Korean exchange. Now, whoever thought you could get a listing on Upbit and only get a 3.4% pump? That is absolutely ridiculous. Oh, the FTT token's running. What a bunch of idiots. Okay. So, as I said, I do think that after elections, a lot of money is going to be allocated into crypto if we get a Trump presidency. And I think we will get a Trump presidency. But if we get the Trump presidency, then there's going to be a lot of money that's going to be allocated into crypto. But I don't think that the money that's going to be allocated into crypto is going to land up in these narratives that has been running up until now. Specifically, I don't think that a lot more money is going to be allocated into memes. Why? Because in waiting for this outcome, a lot of money and a lot of mindshare has been allocated into memes. But the new money that's coming in, as I showed you, is very much institutional money. And the institutions aren't going to be allocating their money into memes. That I can promise you. So the question is, if they're not going to be allocating their money into memes, where are they going to be allocating their money? And the answer to that, if we can get the answer to that right, then we could front run the institutions. Because as I said to you, we are front running the institutions because they can't allocate yet. We can allocate, which means that we get a chance to allocate before they get a chance to allocate. And so if we know where to allocate before they come in, then we've got the upper hand on them. So now the only question is, where are we going to allocate? Someone says he's wrong about memes. I'm not saying that not a lot of money is going to be allocated into memes. I'm saying that when institutions come in, they ain't going to invest in memes. That I can promise you. And the reason why they're not going to invest in memes is because you cannot tell, your LPs and your GPs, you cannot tell them, hey, I made an investment in memes. I said, what was your investment methodology? You're like, well, listen, it was a dog with a hat and the hat was knitted. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work. Someone says Colombian flu. No, just normal flu, sir. Normal flu. Colombian flu is after weekends. So our job is to try and work out where these institutions are going to be allocating. And if you want to work out where institutions are going to be allocating, it's very simple. What you got to do is you got to find the main institution and you got to understand where the leaders, the influencers, so to speak, in institutions are allocating. And to that end, the leader in institutions actually published a report today. And that report was written by A16Z. And they call this report the State of Crypto 2024. And there were a lot of nuggets that are hidden in the State of Crypto 2024 that we need to speak about. So the first nugget that is hidden in the State of Crypto 2024 is they talk about the fact that there are now 220 million wallets on crypto. There are 220 million active addresses. And they are tracking the rollout of crypto wallets relative to the speed at which the internet spread. So you can see that this green line over here is the speed at which the internet spread. And you know that it's exponential. The growth is very much an exponential growth. It looks like we are now going to start taking a more parabolic approach than the internet, because here in the beginning you don't really get exposure and awareness. This is all about exposure and awareness. You don't get adoption, but once the technology actually catches on, then you get exponential growth. And that is exactly what we're starting to see now. And so what I predict is going to happen is that we're actually going to fast track the internet. The internet got to 1 billion users after this many years. I think that either by next year, when they write the report, or the following year, we are going to be on 1 billion users already. So that's the first thing. Now, remember, they're counting 1 billion users as addresses, whereas the internet probably counted it as computers, so to speak, which is one is an IP address and one is a wallet address. So it's not exactly like for like. But what I think is going to happen is that the usage of this technology is going to grow much faster than the internet. So then you've got to ask yourself, okay, well, where are these users going to go? What are they going to invest in? And that's exactly what this report speaks about. They spoke about the fact that crypto has become a political issue, and they showed a few slides around crypto becoming a political issue. But we'll talk about those in a second. Then they spoke about this. They spoke about the builders that the blockchain technology, which chains or which protocols are the builders going to in blockchain technology? And interestingly, what you see here in the year 2023 to 2024, the biggest growth was actually builders going onto Solana, which is not a surprise at all. What is a surprise to me is that 20.8% of builders are building on Ethereum, whereas 11.2% of people are building on Solana. Now, the difference between the people building on Ethereum, and because I was like, why the hell would 20.8% of people be building on Ethereum and only 11% be building on Solana? And the answer is very simple. The answer is the people building on Ethereum are mostly building scaling solutions. The people building on Solana are actually all building real-world applications. No one is worried about scaling solutions, or very few people are worried about scaling solutions when you talk about Ethereum. The one thing that is worth noticing is if you look at Ethereum plus Arbitrum, plus Optimism, plus Polygon, plus Base, you got about 50% of blockchain brains are still in ETH and ETH layer 2. So you cannot discount ETH, okay? You cannot discount ETH. Specifically, there was another chart which was worth looking at. And it was this chart over here. So you look at this chart over here, you say, okay, well, the Bitcoin ETF is 7 months older than the ETH ETF, right? And the total on-chain holding of Bitcoin ETF is 58 billion. The ETH ETF, the total holdings is 7 billion. But you got to remember one thing. The market cap of Bitcoin is now 4.5 times larger than the market cap of ETH. So actually, if you take the ETH number and you say, okay, let's take 4.5 times 7, so 30 million, call it, 30 billion, and Bitcoin is at 58 billion on a like-for-like basis. But now you got to remember that ETH is 7 months behind Bitcoin. You actually say to yourself, okay, well, listen, the ETH ETF is actually not doing that badly on a relative basis. Obviously, when you're comparing the ETH ETF, the Bitcoin ETF, there's no comparison, but actually on a relative basis, maybe ETH isn't doing as bad as we're all making out to be. And so what a lot of people are now saying is, well, hold on a second, maybe it's time for ETH. Because, like, as Matt Hogan says, maybe ETH is a contrarian bet now. So, I mean, you can watch this.
What I'll say about Ethereum is I'm actually quite constructive on Ethereum right now. I think it's a contrarian bet within crypto. Ethereum is like the asset that people love to hate. It's kind of the middle child of crypto. It's neither the OG Bitcoin or the hot dot that is, whether you want to say Solana or Sui or Aptos or Monad or pick your new high-performance blockchain. People assume that Ethereum is like old tech and it's struggling over fee compression as assets move onto layer twos and activity moves onto layer twos. But when you step back and look at it, what are the killer apps of crypto outside of Bitcoin? There are things like stablecoins, there are things like DeFi, there are things like tokenization. What is the leading blockchain for stablecoins, DeFi, and tokenization? It's still Ethereum. If you're a large traditional financial player looking to build on a public blockchain, what blockchain are you going to choose? Most likely you're going to choose Ethereum.
Look, so we can't argue with him. If you are a large financial institution, if you think about like where Trump built his blockchain, it was on Ethereum. So maybe when you take this and you take this election issue thing, you say, hold on, maybe there actually is hope for Ethereum. Maybe we shouldn't just put the bullet in it just yet. But look, as I said, I'm not that bullish on Ethereum. But if you want to take the contrarian view, I actually don't think that such a bad bet is to actually buy a basket of ETH assets. When I say a basket of ETH assets, put some Lido in it, put some Ethereum naming service in it, put the DeFi blue chips in it. I don't think that you will go wrong, because I do think that at some stage ETH will get a pump. What I've decided for my portfolio is that if ETH gets a pump, definitely Solana is going to get a much bigger pump. And so I don't, like, I think that, like, for me, I want to just be part of Solana. I also feel more culturally aligned to VC, to Solana's ethics. And so that's the way that I see it. All right. Next, they start talking about the actual usage of blockchain technology. And the usage of blockchain technology kind of shows us where the investment in money is actually going to land up going. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time. So the usage of blockchain technology right now, the killer use, the killer app, the killer use case of blockchain technology is definitely stablecoins. So stablecoins are doing more transactions than Visa and MasterCard, believe it or not. That's where we're at. We've actually created a payment rail. Like, if ever you think to yourself, we haven't done very well, just think to yourself that we created a technology 10 years ago and Visa and MasterCard aren't keeping up with the number of transactions that we're actually doing. And the reason why this is now starting to pick up steam is because the transaction fees are very, very low. Why are the transaction fees low? Because of Sui, Solana, Tron, etc. Not only that, what they're showing is that crypto is actually becoming systematically important. So when I say systematically important, believe it or not, crypto is actually becoming an important aspect of the global financial system. Now, why is that so important? Because if you have an asset that is important to the stability of the global financial system, then governments will pretty much do anything to protect those kind of assets, right? And what you're seeing with Bitcoin, as much as governments are starting to fight it, one thing that we're seeing is that USDT and USDC combined hold more US debt than Germany. Okay, so you look at this slide over here, and it shows you the biggest holders of US treasuries. And you can see it's bigger than Germany. And as the number of stable coins go up, so we will beat Mexico, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, until eventually there is a possibility that USDT and USDC will be amongst the biggest holders of US debt. We're not that far away. Like, we're 15x away from being the biggest holder of US debt. So that is the reason why I'm actually even bringing this up, is because what it shows is that crypto is now starting to become more important globally in the financial system. It's becoming too important to fail. Because if it does fail, then US debt, imagine Tether started to sell off all its US debt. That would be like one of the biggest sellers out there selling its US debt. So now the US government says, hold on a second, if we take down Tether, if we take down this thing called crypto, if we take down USDC, we could take down the entire US financial system. We could cause a death spiral in the price of US debt. And so Tether becomes one of the financial institutions that is deemed too big to fail. So that's the next thing that they spoke about. Then they spoke about, in this report, they spoke about other products or other places that they think are going to run as a result of the institutional investment. And there's two that I really want to spend time on, and two that they really spend time on. The first one that they really spent a lot of time on is DeFi. What they're saying about DeFi is that DeFi is probably about to take off. And the reason why DeFi is probably about to take off is because we've had this like trough of disillusionment here. And now, you know, so like we had this like bounce, then we got DeFi peak valuations. Then people say, hold on, this DeFi thing doesn't really work. But now it is actually starting to work, which is a normal technological adoption hype cycle curve. And DeFi is exactly here. Now, on top of that, we are going back into interest rate environments where the interest rates are going to be much lower. And, you know, when interest rates are 5% in US dollars without investing in crypto, then there's really not much incentive to be investing in crypto. or in DeFi. The thing is, when interest rates actually go down and people start chasing yields, one of the places that they're going to get huge yields is actually going to be in DeFi, right? And so what we're getting now is we're getting probably the DeFi renaissance. And for if you're a long-term investor, if you're an institution, or if you're a long-term investor in crypto, my suggestion to you is that you must hold a DeFi bag. You must hold the blue chips. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be Uniswap, Aave, ThoughtChain. Have a DeFi bag, because DeFi is going to be one of the narratives that actually runs. Now, you can have DeFi in any chain. You can have, like, I'm a big holder of Aerodrome. I'm a big holder in Aerodrome. I'm a big holder in Athena. I think Athena is a combination of stable coins and DeFi, which is, to me, the killer combination. That's why if actually you look at Athena, so if you look at Athena and the price of Athena, this, I think it's ENA USDT. If you look at how Athena started to recover, you've had the massive dump in Athena, and now you've basically got Athena starting to recover, and they're starting to make all the right noises. And you can see there's a higher high there, and there's a higher high there, higher low. So Athena for me is probably one of the safest and best plays if you want to have exposure into DeFi. But I would definitely, definitely, definitely have exposure in DeFi. You got to have exposure in DeFi, because that's where the institutions are going to be investing. And I've just explained to you why. The last category that they spoke about, which I think is worth talking about, is AI. And of course, I think that they've spoken about how AI has a product market fit for crypto. Now, one of the big things that they speak about when they talk about product market fit for AI, they say, okay, obviously the builders are building on it. They're showing that the AI training costs are growing exponentially. And the problem with the training costs growing exponentially is that that favors centralization, because as it costs so much to train the models, only the big people can actually train the models, right? And so what happens is you get centralization of the models. It means that Google, Microsoft, they will own all all the models will be centralized around these models, around the major guys. And what they're saying is that crypto is actually the savior for this. Not only that, of course, they talk about the fact that there is the currency that all the AIs will actually use will be some kind of cryptocurrency. And so effectively what they're basically saying is, look, when the institutions come in, given the fact that we're going into a decreasing interest rates environment, what we're going to start getting is we're going to see a DeFi renaissance, and probably the second most bullish application that you can invest in. The first one is stablecoins, but very, very, very hard to invest in stablecoins unless you're going to invest in Athena. And by the way, I would make sure that Athena is one of your biggest bags, because I think if this thing works, then Athena can become the algorithmic stablecoin that actually worked, if it works. Second one, have money in DeFi. Third one, have money in AI, because crypto could solve some of AI's most pressing challenges, right? 15 billion images were created by AI in a year, more than 150 years of photography, right? Now, you want to do authenticity. Who can verify the authenticity of the content? Well, is it on the blockchain? Is it not on the blockchain? Who owns the NFT? That way you can do it. Computer trading models, democratization, blockchains can help broaden access to compute. Transparency, blockchains can help create open user-owned services. And then, of course, ownership, compensating users for their data. So I think that this narrative will actually also get a pump towards the end of the month, because we know ChatGPT-5 is going to launch. When ChatGPT-5 actually launches, then I think the AI narrative will run. And on that day or that week, I think you should have some of the tokens in our AI watch list. You've got Near, BitTensor, Arweave, ASI, AOS. You pick. There's a lot of them. Delicium, if you want agents. The other one that I would definitely look at is humans.ai. I did tell you, those guys, in my mind, are the leaders in agents. Now, I've seen what humans, AIs, agents can actually do. I've seen it. They've demoed it to me. They have created probably the best agent that I've seen. And they've asked for like a week or 10 days. And in a week or 10 days, their agent is actually going to come onto our show. Their agent is going to launch its own meme coin, and their agent is going to start shilling a launched meme coin. Now, I know you're saying that that's already been done, but actually it hasn't been done before. And the reason why it hasn't been done before is those agents didn't launch their own AIs. So humans launched the AIs, the meme coins. and the agents shilled the meme coin. Now, humans.ai, which, by the way, as I've said, is one of, I think, one of the best plays in AI, because, as I said, I've seen the value of their, they showed me a demo of their agent and what they've built in terms of an agent. And I can tell you that there's nothing that even comes close to this. And as I said, in 10 days, they're going to be coming onto the show, and their agent is going to be actually launching a meme and shilling a meme on its own. So, like, mind-breaking stuff, mind-blowing stuff. So, yeah, that's the story. So, again, I think institutions are coming in. The money that's coming into crypto is not retail money anymore. It's institutions. When the institutions come in, there's going to be two types of institutions, one that can allocate and one that has to wait for the election outcome. If Trump wins, a lot more money comes into crypto. Where does that money go? Well, the retail money will probably still carry on going into memes, but the real money is going to start going into other narratives. Where is it going to go? It's going to go into DeFi. It's going to go into AI. It's going to go into stable coins. What do you invest in? You invest in DeFi blue chips. You invest in AI. You invest in Athena. You invest in a whole lot of others like that. That is my recommendation to you. I know today's been one of our most alpha packed shows. I see that a lot of people in the comments are actually appreciating it. What's wrong with all my hairs? No, I know they're a bit like spiky today. They're a bit everywhere today. I must have slept on the wrong side of the bed. Let's just see, how am I doing in the Bybit? Actually, let's not even check the Bybit trading competition. I'm doing so badly. I'm down, bro. I'm down. I'm down 7% because the market turned. Okay, but the competition doesn't end for a while. If you want to join the trading competition, you know where to go. There's a link below. You can join us. There's not much time. And actually, if you're getting in now, you're getting in while everybody's still down. So you can actually still win this. If you win, $10 million, guys. $10 million up for grabs. All right, listen, guys. Love you madly. That was, again, I love that show. I love doing shows where there's lots of alpha and stuff like that. Those are like my favorite shows. Tomorrow, I've got a big, big, big show for you. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. It's really, really good. Sorry, say again. Oh, should I give away the BitGet jersey? All right, so if you open an account on BitGet and your account number is this one over here. So this is the one. 951 ends in 641. I can't highlight it because I've only got view only access. You have won the signed Leo Messi jersey. You have won the signed Leo Messi jersey. We will contact you so that you can actually win it. Congratulations. Remember, guys, if you want to win a Bitcoin, go here, enter win a Bitcoin. You must have an exchange account with the Crypto Banter link. I mean, even if you opened it a long time ago, that will actually count. Make your recommendation and you can stand a chance to win a full Bitcoin, guys. See you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.